business day to arrange for your free and easy vehicle pickup. Thank you for supporting 90.1 KPFT Houston.
The cool, unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals 10 p.m. Thursday, and it's time for So What's Your Story, the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling right here on listener-sponsored 90.1 KPFT Houston. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, professor of communication at the University of Houston downtown, along with Jacob Reiner, working the boards. You know, along with the recent passing of Muhammad Ali came the burst of his best-known weighty words of wisdom. When speaking of his love for friends, he proclaimed, "Friendship is the hardest thing in the world to explain. It's not something you learn in school, but if you haven't learned the meaning of friendship, you really haven't learned anything at all." And stories we share about our friends are often the most poignant because they force us to dig deep. Friends encourage us, accept us, know us, oftentimes more than we know ourselves. The tender tales of friendship will reach new heights tonight because my guest storyteller has an uncanny way of easing our hearts while tugging at them at the same time, and it's all good. The fourth of eight children, Kent Keith, was raised in Minnesota by a dazzling storyteller father and a Catholic mother who took the social justice part of her religion seriously. His dad clearly taught his son about the power of story, and to conclude that mom's commitment to community impacted Kent would be a dramatic understatement. Kent was on the volunteer board on the Houston Arboretum, for many years. And through this work, he learned the beautiful story, The Man Who Planted Trees by Jean Junot, a modern parable taking place in the French Alps where a shepherd has quietly taken on the task of planting hundreds of acorns in an effort to reforest his desolate region. And nothing gets in his way. Well, the shepherd's persistence enveloped Kent in 2002 when he became involved in Casa Juan Diego, a house of hospitality in the philosophy of the Catholic worker movement. He vowed to do what was necessary, including building a garden on land owned by Casa so people could feel the soil and, in doing so, feed their soul. 10 years later, as a result of this work, Kent and his wife Karen gave birth to Fruit Share Houston. Now, in Kent's own words, the stories that clobber him with joy come through his work at Casa Juan Diego and Fruit Share Houston. But Kent Keith is here because he clobbered Warren and me at the Moth a few months ago with the kind of storytelling skill most can only envy, the kind he uses to deliver his stories of friendship, the stories of tonight. Kent, I'm glad you're here, as you know. This is magnificent. And, you know, to talk about the kind of impact that you made on me when I heard your story at the Moth is no hyperbole. You're a great storyteller, and I was engaged at the very outset, and I found that to be I have to have this guy on the show. That's why we ambushed you afterwards. You weren't allowed to get in your car until we got you, right? It's clear that your mom kindled in you the kindness that fuels your work, but how about your dad? He's a dazzling storyteller. What made him so?
My dad, the dazzling storyteller, he had stories about Sam Walton of Walmart fame, Bobby Kennedy, his tent mate in the Marines, his childhood friend, and he was able to bring those characters into the living room or the kitchen or wherever he was telling his story, and that was dazzling.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. You know, and I want to try to get to this a little bit later because I think I think that learning a story is, it just comes through a natural evolution of our acculturation. So I know your dad had a lot to do with you being able and wanting to tell stories, but Both of your stories that you're going to be telling tonight is about your dear friend Daryl, whose, I think, unfathomable strength helped you to cope with the kind of pain that most could ever fathom. And before we get into this, I'm just curious, what got you to walk into the Moth anyway?
Well, I had a few friends that had been going to the Moth, mm-hmm. and as they explained it, what the Moth does that is captivating to me is it is a platform for personal narratives. Mm-hmm. And it's personal narratives and those kind of stories that are most engaging to me.
And the personal narratives that you have about your friend Daryl this evening, does everything that a good narrative does, it validates a person's life. You know, we're all born as sort of a blank slate, you know, and our lives are our stories, and our stories are our lives. And it's our friends that fill that tremendous void so very, 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 very much. And I'm looking forward to these stories so much. The center of this friendship is one of the seeds behind your story entitled Love Hurts, the one that Warren and I heard the night that you and I connected. Before you tell us the story, is there anything at all that we do need to know? I'm not sure if there is, but do we need to know anything about the story? You just want to jump into it.
Well, I'd like to say this. I think it's important. In 2007, I lost my son. And the pain and the black grief were too much for one person to handle. Mm-hmm. And I had to have a community of support around me. And at ground zero of that support was my friend Daryl.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a story.
I received my first friend, my first best friend in my life, when I was 5 years old. My family had just moved to a new neighborhood, and the kid across the street came over and asked if we could be friends. And I thought, I don't have anything else to do. Sure, why not? And for the next many years, Mike and I palled around in each other's backyards almost every day, until his dad took a job in another city and moved Mike and his family away. And that hurt. I found my next best friend in sixth grade. John and I sat next to each other in Miss Myers' class. And we were best friends all the way through high school when he went off to the Marine Corps and I went off to college to be a pot-smoking liberal. And that separation hurt. My best friend in college was Pat. And Pat made the stupid mistake of dating my persnickety sister, Allison. And when Allison broke up with Pat, Pat broke up with me, and our best friendship dissolved into nothing. And that dissolution, that hurt. I didn't have another best friend for many years. And then when I was 35, I met my best friend, and that was Daryl. And I fell in love with Daryl almost immediately. I didn't fall in love with him in a loverly kind of way because Daryl and I weren't lovers. But I fell in love with him in a best friend kind of way. And Daryl and I did everything together. When he got married, I stood up for him. When I lost my son, he stood by me. I loved Daryl. And in 2012, he started experiencing some pains in his chest. And after many visits to the doctor and a lot of second opinions, Daryl and his wife Martha decided that it would be best to have this surgical procedure done of a serious yet relatively routine nature. And they scheduled that surgery for July 24th of 2012. On July 19th, I left on a backpack trip that I already had planned, fully expecting that when I returned on the 29th, that my friend would be well on his way to a speedy recovery. But that's not what happened. Instead, when I came down off the mountain, I saw I had a missed call from Daryl's brother, Greg. And when I returned Greg's call, he told me that something terribly wrong had happened in the surgery, and could I please come home as soon as possible. When I got back to Houston, I went up to the hospital as soon as I could, and I found my friend in a coma. The skin on his nose was black from lack of circulation. And that same black death was in his fingers and his hands and up above his wrists. And it was in his toes and his feet and crawling up his legs. My best friend was going to have a quadruple amputation. And the thought of that was gruesome and horrifying. After Daryl came out of the coma, they scheduled that amputation. And after that surgery, something profound happened. Where my friend's body was chopped and quartered, his spirit multiplied and grew. I found our conversations peppered with comments like, "You know, it's not too bad. I'll never have to buy gloves again." Or, "One day I went to visit him and he said, 'Hey, Kent, I had a great day today. No toe jam.'" Or my favorite, "You know, I don't know what everybody's all worked up about. My penis is working just fine." But as magnanimous and gigantic as Daryl's spirit was, his body continued to wither. His mechanical heart gave out. His blood became infected. His kidneys were failing. At the end of November of that year, Daryl asked his family to let him go. I saw Daryl for the last time on the evening of November 29th, and I asked him if he was afraid, and he told me yes. And then I got as close to him as I could, and I told him, "Daryl, you are the best friend." And he looked at me with his jaundiced eyes, and he said, "I love you." Daryl sailed on the next morning, and that hurt, and that still hurts. Thanks, Hank.
Wow. You know, I told a story the same night that you told that story, the moth, and I was looking out for support to the masses, and I thought, yeah, there are supportive people here. But then when I heard your story, I thought, this is a supportive man incarnate. The kind of compassion that was oozing from your heart when you told the story is really immeasurable. How do you feel when you tell that story? When it unfolds now, how do you feel? Because you've told that story a few times.
Well, every time I tell it, it still seems like I'm telling it new. Mm-hmm. But the grief that I experience seems to dissipate more every time I tell it.
Mm-hmm. Is that a good thing?
I think that's a good thing. Yeah. I think that it puts the grief in perspective.
Yeah. Well, this is Hank Rubicek with Jacob Reiner, and you are listening to Yes Storyteller Kent Keith on So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 for our friends in Livingston. What do you want us to take away from this story? There's so much, I know, but what's the take home? What do you want us to get away from that? Get away from this? Because I'll tell you, it's so much. It's parable friendly, that's for sure.
I think, or at least one of the central themes for me, is the idea that a committed friendship, to be in a committed friendship, guarantees you're going to have pain and hurt. Mm-hmm. And how you handle that pain and hurt defines if your life is going to be narrow and one-dimensional or rich and satisfying.
Beautifully, beautifully said. You know, Jacob could respond to this because, Jacob, you know, you spend time talking about your veteran buddies, and they are very raw and wonderful. He's told some great stories, Kent, about his veteran friends, and, boy, they're amazing. But how does Kent's story make you feel?
Honestly, scared.
Yeah.
One of my my best friend, you know, like you, I've been through a few, but he was a sergeant of mine. And I had a rough morning Monday. And I text him. I said, "It's going to be a rough day." Well, he decided to miss school that day and stay on the phone with me for about 2 hours. So I absolutely understand that friendship and that support that you're talking about.
And how would you capture the essence of friendship in your own mind?
Three words: supportive, honest, and loyal.
Beautiful. Now, Let's make it a little lighter and give us the definition of the best darn storytellers group around. Would you do that, Jake?
Oh, well, that's the easiest question you've asked
yeah,
all night.
Shift it a little bit. Go, man. Go.
Well, it is defined as the Houston Storytellers Guild, who is our proud sponsor. They hold their monthly story swaps on the fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Printing Museum, which is located at 1324 West Clay. There's plenty of parking and plenty of fun. Check out their site for all the fun happening at www.houstonstorytellers.org. Also, be sure to visit us on So What's Your Story's Facebook page, get information about our guests, storytelling events, and a whole lot more. But please, make sure you like them before you leave.
Right. Thank you, Jacob. I appreciate it. I was telling Kent as you were going through that, you need to join that group.
Why
I don't
do.
You? I mean, my okay. God, what is everybody's problem here, right?
I'm in.
You've got to do that. I got to tell you. You know, someone once declared that friendship is like a violin. The music may stop now and then, but the strings will last forever. And Kent, I know the connection that you have with Daryl is a rhythm all its own, and this next story has a lighthearted beat to it. Share it with us.
Okay. Well, as a way of introduction, let me just say that I think all strong friendships, if they have a jokester energy in them, then that friendship is going to be a lasting, long friendship. So one day, my wife and I were sitting in the La Peep over on 59, and we're back in the corner where we could observe what was going on in the restaurant, but no one else could really see us. And in comes Daryl, and he bolts into the middle of the restaurant. And he's looking around, and he's looking around with that desperate, frightened look that tells me, because I know I've had it, that desperate, frightened look that says, I need the restroom, and I need the restroom now. I don't need it in 10 seconds. I need that restroom now. And he beelines to the men's room. He opens the door. The door closes behind him. I look over at Karen, and I say, Karen, I think I've got some messing around with Daryl to do in the bathroom. And she says, go have fun. So I go into the bathroom. And now, before I go in there, I walk across the restaurant to the restroom. And I don't know what it's going to look like in there. I don't know if there's 5 men in there for me. I don't know. But I open up the door and I close it silently so no one else that's in the restroom knows I'm there. And as luck would have it, the restroom has 2 sit-down stalls, and only 2. And I can see Daryl's feet with his pants down around his ankles in the right-hand stall, and I can see the unknown man with his shoes and his pants down around his ankle. So they're like my hostages, if you will. So I get the idea of taking a paper towel, and I wad it up, and I throw it over into Daryl's stall. And he goes, hey! Now, I didn't know what kind of reaction he'd get, but I'm thinking now, the unknown man, he's got to be wondering who's the dude going, hey, in the stall next to him. So I get another paper towel, I wad it up, I throw it over into Daryl's stall again, and this time he goes, hey man, cut it out! Now I'm thinking, the unknown man's got to think there's some crazy lunatic in the stall next to him. And Daryl's angry. He's clearly thinking that this other guy is throwing the paper towels over to him. So I press my luck. I get one more. I wad it up. I throw it over into Daryl's stall. And this time he goes, hey, man, cut it out. I told you it's not funny. Cut it out. And the unknown man is just, his feet aren't even moving. He is scared that there's a lunatic next to him, and Daryl is so angry, thinking this guy's throwing paper towels at him. So I hear Daryl kind of finishing up his business, and I sneak out so he can't hear me, and I motion to my wife, and we go out into the parking lot, and we wait for Daryl. And Daryl comes out of the restaurant. He doesn't see us at first, and he's got this angry look on his face, like, what just happened to me? And I go up to him nonchalant, like I hadn't been there. And I go, hey, Daryl, how you doing, man? And he goes, man, I was in the bathroom, I was sitting down, and some guy was throwing paper towels over at me. It really disturbed me. I said, wow, that really does sound disturbing. Did he do it like this? And I took the one that I had left, I folded it up, and I knocked him in the head with it. And he got this great look of laughter on his face, because immediately he knew what was going on.
And we both sat there and laughed. And we know that that guy is still in the restroom thinking that the lunatic next to him is going to get him.
That's great. Bathroom humor. I love it. Bathroom humor. All right. Yeah. Jokester. Well, what did Daryl do for a living? What did he do?
Oh, you know, he just had a regular kind of job.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, we had that jokester energy between
us. Man, I'll tell you, I love it. True friendship is like sound health. The value of it is seldom known until it's lost, so don't ever lose it. Keep their stories alive, and that's exactly what we are doing tonight with my guest teller, Kent Keefe, on So What's Your Story? Only on listener-sponsored, corporate-free, expression-rich, KPFT. Houston, 90.1 FM. This is Hank Rubicek. And, you know, next week, Dr. Warren Holloman is going to be here, and he's going to be hosting architect Richard Boudet, whose incredible narratives is going to prove that each floor in a building is called a story for all the right reasons. Intrigued? Of course you are, because this is a What's Your Story. Every week is an intrigue, so tune in and do not miss it. Listen, I wanted to also take a moment and thank those of you who sent in some of your warm sentiments last week about the Father's Day stories. We shared with you on Greg's show, and, you know, it meant a lot to me because I told some stories, one story in particular that was not easy, and I know that Warren did as well and Greg did, and I thought that was facilitated really well, and I'm thinking that we should do a lot more of that in the future. I just wanted to share with all of our listeners that we may try a couple of call-ins coming up in the near future and see if you've got a few anecdotes or a few stories that you want to share. I'm not real sure that Jake likes the idea. He's looking at me right now saying, does that mean I have to use the phone? I only text. We don't use phones at my age. No one uses phones unless they're over 40. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I'm not a millennial.
Okay, I'm just giving a hard time. I think he could use the phone. We'll check it out. You know, we'll check it out. But you know, so many people do email me and they talk about the sentiments about some of these stories. And this is the epitome of community radio right here at KPFT. We do so many magnificent things, and I'd like to think that this show is in many ways the anchor behind that, because this is live, this is real, it's raw. We do the kinds of things here that I think makes such really good sense. I sense that storytelling is a method of healing for many people, and I know that for you, I think it's really a sense of healing. Does that make any sense?
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's... What does the process of storytelling do for your mind and heart?
Wow, I mean that's a big question. That could probably be a 30 minute answer, but
well, take two.
Okay. Or I would say that what storytelling does is it's the best medium for connecting with other people. That when I tell a story, I'm opening my heart, because it really is. It's a heart thing, not a mind thing. It's emotional, and it's raw. And when I do that, I can connect with people. And when I'm listening to their stories, I'm connecting with them.
Yeah. How long have you been telling stories?
Well,
I mean, in a definitional sense that we're like, oh, I'm going to the mall to tell a story and, hey, have a story. I mean, how long have you been telling stories?
Okay. In a disciplined sort of way, 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to go back to your dad because I'm fascinated by some of the stories. And many of them were history centered, weren't they? A lot of them were historically rich. About Kennedy and things like that?
Well, no. Those were personal stories
he had.
Bobby Kennedy.
Tell us one of them. What kind of a interaction did he have with Bobby Kennedy?
Well, how about this one?
Okay.
Because here's one I remember, and it just a little bit of it is my dad was an executive at 3M, and his last swan song, big deal, he was the consummate salesman, was selling... this line of products to Sam Walton. And he was in this room with all these people, all the 3M execs, all the Walmart execs. And Sam Walton says, hey, you, Bob Keith, you and I, let's hop in my pickup truck. And we're going down to the diner and you and I are having dinner and we're going to seal this deal.
Beautiful. I love it. Okay. That says an awful lot about him. An awful lot about him. What kind of stories did he tell you as a kid? Did he ever tell you stories before you went to sleep, you know, that sort of thing? Or weren't those the kind of stories that he told?
No, that story I just told, or his Marine stories, or his childhood stories. And,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about Daryl for a moment. Daryl seems like he'd have a comment about most things, right? Fair enough. What would he say about tonight?
I think what Daryl would say about tonight, in the state that he was in when I last saw him after his quadruple amputation, is he'd say, dude, he loved calling me dude. He'd say, dude, you're standing on my foot, man.
That's what he'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he and that would be it. He wouldn't say anything about the story. He wouldn't say anything about the show. He would just say that, and he would expect you to know exactly what he meant.
Well, that, and he'd say, man, that Hank Rubicek sure gives a good story.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that's nice of him. Thank you, Daryl. I appreciate it. You know, Oscar Wilde said of friendship, there's a magnet in your heart, I think, that will attract true friends. The magnet is unselfishness, thinking of others first, learning to live for others so that they will live for you. And Kent, my new friend, this defines you, I think, and you honor Daryl with what Talmudic scholars call truer than truth, the story. Thank you, Kent Keith, for displaying how human narratives, in fact, stretch the boundaries of the human heart. This was a very awesome night. We're going to get started with our little theme song in just a minute or so and give people an easy way to get into our weekend, because this show tonight, I thought, really set the tone of ease, and I thought it really set the tone of healing, and I just love the tone of what we did tonight. Scooter is up next with The Inner Side. To complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT, make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling out, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and we're going to keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. And don't you dare forget to, just don't ever, ever, ever forget that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
KPFT is seeking local organizations, businesses, and individuals to take part in our Community Partner Program. Community partners help KPFT through supporting initiatives of the station, reducing our pledge drives, and being key contributors to our success. As a community partner, your organization or business becomes invested in a richer way in KPFT. You help keep important independent radio flowing. Interested in being a community partner? Contact Development Director Robin Lewis anytime. Just call 713-526-4000 or just send an email to robin@kpft.org. Thanks for your interest in our Community Partners Program. This is KPFT Houston.
This is Alma Vizcarra, KPFT's local election supervisor. This summer, we will hold separate but simultaneous staff and listener elections for half the seats of the local station board. Please consider running for the board to ensure that the needs of the station and our community are met. Candidate nominations open on June 1st and close on June 30th. To run or vote in the upcoming election, you must be a member of KPFT by June 30th. For listeners, this means a donation of at least $25 between July 1st of last year and June 30th of this year, or 3 hours of volunteer station work, or request a hardship waiver. To see the election calendar or download the nomination packet, please visit elections.pacifica.org or call 713-526-4000. 713-526-4000. Your voice and your vote in Pacifica are important. Keep in mind, you must be a member of the station by June 30th in order